Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Built by Bama Online podcast presents Daybreak for Friday, March the 27th, 2020. Travis Meyer, senior analyst for BamaOnline.com. And as we typically do here on Fridays, we're going to check in with Hank South, recruiting analyst for us there at BOL. First and foremost, Hank, hope you're enduring or getting through these surreal sort of times that we're encountering here in good fashion, you and yours.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been nuts. We're just kind of hanging in there, just trying to get groceries when we can and, you know, just stay away and stay at home. So same to you. I hope y'all are hanging in there.
I think we're all kind of in that same mode right now, trying to stay as close as we can to home, trying to keep our hands clean, trying to keep our kids' hands clean. You know, I know for you with the younger deal that you're dealing with there, that's got to be quite a task.
We've been utilizing the sprinkler outside the pool's closed, neighborhood pool is closed, but the sprinkler is making do for now. We'll see what the story is in 2 weeks, but for right now, sprinkler's working.
The front yard sprinkler never goes out of style, I can tell you. That one goes crossed. back to the 70s for me, man. You're taking me back now. You're gonna get the old slip and slide out before we know it. But Hank, there has continued to be news of sorts on the recruiting trail. And as that relates to the Alabama Crimson Tide, we're going to get into some of that both from a football and basketball perspective this morning. But let's start with as we headed into the week. I know we're paying close attention to a particular prospect who had Alabama or has Alabama high on his list. There were some thought being given that Kane Williams would go ahead and maybe make his announcement earlier in the week, but sounds like that's been pushed back now. We did, I guess, get a more streamlined list for Kane Williams earlier in the week.
Yeah, and that was kind of something I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago when this first kind of all started happening with the cancellations, spring practice or suspensions and all that, and the recruiting visits put to a stop. But, what was the question was, are guys just going to go ahead and, start committing? Are they going to reserve their spots in classes? Are they going to move up their timelines and just kind of get it out of the way? And Kane Williams came out, I believe it was last Thursday, and said he wanted to make a commitment on Monday. And he had a top eight, I think, at the time. But it was pretty clear Alabama and LSU were his top two schools. He even said as much after his junior day visit earlier this month. But, as time got closer, it became a little bit more clear that, Alabama and LSU are both very high on Kane Williams and he's a big target. But at the same time, I think, they're in a position where they want to see him work out a little bit more in camp, see a little bit more of him this spring. We'll see what spring even looks like, going forward and potentially even summer camp. So that could be a situation that they need to adjust on the fly. But it's been clear that I think both those programs wanted to see a little bit more of him this spring, which, that can be said for a lot of recruits at this point on a typical recruiting calendar. Drawing closer to Monday, he put out a tweet that had Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M. There's three emojis for each school on Sunday. Then on Monday, he decided to go ahead and push it back. He didn't want to announce, and he wanted to just put out a top three, which ended up being those three SEC West programs. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now. All those schools are high on him. I think Texas A&M was ready to go on Monday had he committed, but I think he knows it's not a huge rush at this point. And he has a little bit more time that he can keep evaluating things and vice versa. Those Alabama and LSU, which I think are his top two schools, can keep evaluating him.
So even with the uncertainty that's come about with this COVID-19 pandemic, I guess the other side of this too is schools like Alabama, LSU, even with not knowing for sure what the summer is going to look like from an evaluation standpoint, or the late spring for that matter, they're not to the point yet where they're going to take kids based on what they have. They're still willing. They're being a little bit patient and kind of waiting this thing out, it sounds like, Hank.
Yeah, yeah. And so maybe that's, you know, indicative of maybe some optimism that maybe we'll have some sort of, you know, set up this summer where guys can camp and, you know, they can see him live. Obviously, that's just speculation on my end. But yeah, there doesn't seem to be a huge concern or, you know, hitting the red button and needing to fill up classes just yet, as we sit here in late March.
Absolutely. And another prospect of note, pushing back his commitment timeline, linebacker Ra-Ra Dilworth. What went into that decision, Hank?
Yeah, that one I was interested to kind of track down what happened there. He's actually, I believe he's visited all five of his finalists at least once. His finalists are Alabama, North Carolina, Georgia, NC State, and South Carolina. And he said in an interview earlier this week on our Inside Carolina 24/7 sports site, that Alabama and North Carolina were his top two schools, which, you know, if you kind of followed it, that's kind of been the feeling since he got his offer and took his visit earlier this month to Tuscaloosa. His mom gave us an interview on Bama Online, just raving about Alabama and, you know, the job Nick Saban, Charles Kelly, even Sam Petito on campus when they're speaking with him, the job they have done in that recruitment and just how much they've been impressed by Alabama. So seemed like Bama was in a pretty good spot, especially getting him on that last visit too. I think, you know, as all these cancellations have been made and things have been suspended, I think he decided that he wanted to take a couple more visits when he had the chance to. Those dates were kind of special to, they were special to him in that April 17th, the day he was going to commit to a staff, was his grandmother's birthday. And then May 9th was just a couple of days. It was a Saturday after his mom's birthday. So he had those kind of two meaningful dates and he pushed those back. So, you know, that's I think mainly what went into that is just, you know, wanting to take more visits. But even then, you know, he has an official visit left to Alabama. You know, they've really impressed him. Charles Kelly is, you know, he didn't get talked a lot about it as one of Bama's top recruiters. But, you know, he's been getting some big fish to Tuscaloosa and Dilworth is another they're very high on at this point.
And even in these uncertain times, it seems like offers still continue to go out from the Alabama staff. Hank, a former in-state standout, Malik McClain, apparently recently offered. Hard not to think of a guy who has spent some time down in Baldwin County as a wide receiver and not think of Julio Jones, especially right. When you talk about a receiver who has some size like apparently Malik McClain. Tell us about his situation. I know he's no longer at Daphne High School, but you know, how that initial reaction for McClain sort of worked its way out.
Yeah, I was really interested in catching up with him just to kind of get his thoughts, you know, being a former in-state recruit. And we talked on earlier this week, I think it was on Tuesday night. And he was saying, you know, he's not actually from Alabama. He moved to Daphne High School when he was, I believe, a freshman. He'd only been there for 3 years before he recently transferred over to IMG in Bradenton, Florida. He's actually from Florida. But he has a lot of family in Montgomery. He told me he's in a military family, so that they've traveled quite a bit, you know, throughout his youth. But he has family in Montgomery. He told me half his family went to Auburn and half his family went to Alabama. But he himself has lived in Florida the majority of his life. So, you know, he's from Florida, but there's strong connections to the state of Alabama. He's visited Alabama three times. He's really only taken one recruiting visit there, and that was for the LSU game last November. But he did say, obviously, you know, like you just let in there, he Julio Jones is one of his, you know, one of his idols that he looks up to at the wide receiver position. So it's still pretty early. He's kind of just now, he was having a great spring before all this, this stuff started happening with the coronavirus that shut everything down. And he's still getting offers. I feel like every day he's tweeting out a new offer, but he's really not in a huge rush to, you know, to make a commitment or anything. He talked about he's going to visit Bama again after whenever he's able to. And they're definitely going to be a school in contention for him. And so, you know, that was a big offer for him. I think schools like Florida State, you know, I think if Auburn got involved, they'd be a factor for him. But Florida State, I think all the Florida schools He'll be high on Miami too. So he'll be one to watch, but yeah, definitely an intriguing prospect at 6'5", 195. And I know our guys, at 24/7 Sports that saw him at that Under Armour Orlando camp a few weeks ago, they loved him. He was one of their top performers there. So, you know, we don't have verified, numbers on him yet, but they've been able to eyeball him in person and, you know, verify that 6'5", you know, frame. And they said he's the real deal. So, big offer there, and we'll be keeping track of him.
We hear so much about interaction between recruits and coaches. From the Alabama perspective, what seems to be the method of choice? Technology being what it is, Hank, you're certainly not short on options. What are you getting in terms of feedback on how Alabama is sort of making this happen during these times?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, so far, you know, it seemed just kind of standard what they've been doing with dead periods in the past. You know, they can obviously DM guys that are currently juniors in high school. They can text them. They can, you know, that's unlimited. They can do that however much they want. Phone calls are obviously limited, but obviously if recruits call a coach, that's a different story. They can call coaches as much as they want. So, you know, you see these stories about recruits talking to coaches every single day and you're like, well, you know, aren't there like limits to contact, but there's really not that much. I mean, like you can stay in pretty close contact with these coaches, especially if the recruit is initiating that. And so that's kind of been the main method thus far that Alabama has been using. I know Nick Saban utilizes FaceTime a lot, especially for their priority guys. We've seen him use FaceTime all the time and, you know, throughout the recruiting process, whether it be the NFL draft or elsewhere or other times throughout the recruiting cycle. But so far that's been, you know, what I've been hearing and hearing feedback from recruits. But I saw one interesting, I think we talked about last week, you know, Kansas doing a virtual junior day online. I know Texas A&M is doing a Madden tournament online with recruits. So that's kind of a, you know, I think we'll see these things pop up more and more. We've seen some teams do, you know, Twitter video series where they're kind of taking tours of the facility. So it's a very unique time in college football recruiting. And, you know, who knows, maybe some of this stuff will start being more common, you know, once we get back into the swing of things and into the regular calendar.
I think in terms of our everyday lives, Hank, some of the stuff that we're picking up during this situation, going to be a part of what we do personally on a daily basis, sort of the creativity that it's kind of forced upon us. Now, when these recruits aren't, you know, in contact with coaches via the various technological outlets that are out there, what are you seeing from some of these guys in terms of how they're trying to stay in shape and, you know, stay semi sharp? Because it's not just, you know, the spring practices at the college level that we obviously know are not happening right now. You got the high school kids trying to maintain some semblance of fitness, I guess.
Yeah, I was talking to a coach in Florida a couple days ago, and he was talking about how he was worried if they couldn't get, you know, spring conditioning going, that, you know, they were worried about injuries going forward. You know, guys aren't able to, you know, do the proper conditioning, it's going to be an issue with injuries during the season and all that. But, you know, I think it's been a little bit more tricky for some of these kids. Obviously indoor gyms are closing down a lot. But, you know, I talked to Terry and Arnold earlier this week, who's in Tallahassee, and he was just saying he's going to the high school track, obviously, you know, keeping his distance from others, but, you know, working out with some other guys, you know, spacing and, you know, running on the track and lifting weights where they can. So, you know, they're definitely utilizing, you know, guys that have personal trainers, guys that have access to gyms. Obviously there's not team organized things. So, they've been kind of having to improvise a little bit with being able to work out, but, it hasn't seemed to be a huge issue just yet. And I think some guys are probably not adhering to the social distancing rules as much as others at this point. And maybe they will going forward, but, you know, they're just kind of having to make do, whether it be at their high school or even, you know, in a park. Or I know Bryce Young, I talked to his dad, about a week ago, and he said he's working out in the park. That just, everything else is closed. So that's kind of what he has to do right now to stay active. So it's an interesting time.
Yeah, I guess the Brockermeyer twins that the Alabama Crimson Tide is heavily involved with, they have a little bit of a built-in advantage, right, from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, they got their dad, Blake. He was obviously a former All-American at the college level at Texas and went on to the NFL for many years. I believe Steve Wiltfong, our director of recruiting at 24/7 Sports, did a story with them about, you know, what they're doing. I think they have an at home gym, whether it be their neighbor's gym or their gym or something, where they're staying in shape and working out every day. I think he said in Steve's story that, you know, that they're just getting in better shape right now because they have more time to focus on working out. So that's a good sign, I guess. One of the positive situations currently.
As we get out of here, Hank, on this Friday edition of Daybreak, a part of the Built by Bama Online podcast, potentially some big basketball news for Nate Oates and the men's staff coming up here very, very soon, as Josh Primo, the 6'6 combo guard from Toronto, Ontario, up in Canada, expected to make his intentions known. I know you've had a crystal ball in for probably about a month or so now of Josh Primo ending up at Alabama. Same for Tim Watts. Is that still sort of the expectation heading into this as we wrap up the week?
Yeah, you know, so far there's been nothing that we've heard on our end that's, you know, changed that feeling that Alabama has an edge here over Creighton, who's his other finalist at this point in time. Bama's press, I mean, he's been a priority target for a while now, but, you know, Brian Hodgson, Nate Oates, they've done a really good job in this recruitment and really kind of, sold the program to him. I mean, on his official visit in late December, it was just, you know, after that, I think Bama really took advantage in that recruitment. So, you know, Creighton is a school to watch, but I think Bama has a pretty healthy edge heading into his decision, at 11 a.m. Central Time on Friday. Talk about a pickup there to go along with Keon Ambrose at this point in time, and a potential all Canadian class thus far.
What's up?
I know that something's going right for them there. Obviously,
taking over Toronto, own it.
Right. So no, that's going to be a big pickup if it does end up going Alabama's way. And you know, Bama's, we've seen them active on the transfer circuit. You know, their name, the Bama's popping up with several guys that have already announced their intentions to be in the transfer portal. And so it seems like it's a good time that the staff has really been able to circle back and focus on recruiting and close out this 2020 class strong.
Yeah, it's becoming the Canadian Tide around Bryant Drive, man. You've got potentially two signees in this class from Canada. For the men's basketball team, you got John Metchie's got a background in Canada, mm-hmm. the Alabama wide receiver. You got some Alabama baseball players these days, including Owen Diodate, the outstanding freshman for Brad Bohannon's club, man. It's all about Canada. We're going to start maybe playing the anthem at some of the sporting events. Hey, as always, Hank, appreciate the time here on Daybreak. Always great stuff from Hank South for us at BamaOnline.com. Stay safe. Keep those hands clean. And we'll do it again soon, Hank.
Sounds good. Thanks, Travis.
There he goes, Hank South. Travis Ryer, hoping you have a safe weekend coming up. And we'll talk to you again next week when Daybreak returns on the Built by Bama Online podcast.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.